You to open your Bibles to the 17th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 17. And would you stand, please, in honor of God's Word? Matthew 17, if you look down to verse 24. When they came to Capernaum, those who collected the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the 2 drachma tax?" Peter said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect custom or poll tax? From the sons or from strangers?" As Peter said, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are exempt. However, so that we do not offend them, go into the sea and throw in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for you and me." Father, I pray that through this brief conversation with Jesus and Simon Peter, we discover some deep truths of what Jesus expects of us. Teach us this day. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Sounds like a pretty fishy story to me. Do you believe that Peter caught a fish with a coin in his mouth? We'll come back to that in a little while. And by the way, on the Sea of Galilee in a little town of Capernaum, there's a restaurant where you can order St. Peter's fish. This bony little thing on a plate that probably doesn't taste any better than the plate has a coin in its mouth. They've capitalized on this verse of Scripture. I didn't eat that fish. I ate Mrs. Paul's fish sticks while I was there. But if I were to poll you in this room and ask you, yes or no, did Simon Peter catch a fish with a coin in its mouth? Most of you would say yes. Really? We'll see. But before we answer that question, let's talk about some of the facts of the story. What is a 2-drachma tax? Or some translations say tribute. It wasn't a tax by Rome. It was a tax assessed by those who managed the temple. A temple tax. The temple required money to operate. There were things like grain and wine to go with the sacrifices that were made daily. Just maintaining the facility required money. The robes of the high priest were very, very expensive. And so the custom established way back in the Old Testament was that every male Jew over the age of 21 was annually to pay this 2-drachma tax. It was equal to about a half shekel. It was really equivalent to 2 days' wages. How would you like for the Internal Revenue Service to adjust its tax code and say, your annual tax will be equivalent to 2 days' wages? Amen. But this isn't a government tax. So I've been trying to figure out how I can assess a 2-drachma tax, a 2 days' wage tax on every church member. I like God's plan better. There was a problem with the tribute, the half shekel, the 2-drachma coin. There wasn't one. That coin had never been minted. So what happened was people would go together by twos. Half shekel is the tax. 2 half shekels makes a whole shekel, and that's how the taxes were paid. Well, Jesus had been out of the country for a long period of time, teaching in other parts of Israel. And so it's possible that he was past due, if in fact he was due at all, to pay this tax. Before we get into the fish in the coin of the mouth, I think we ought to find some truths in this comment, this commentary, this conversation with Jesus and Peter. The truths that are applicable for us today. The first is, I think in this particular case and throughout his ministry, Jesus taught that we should have financial responsibility. In this case, it was responsibility to a governing agency, not Rome, but the temple directors. In the 22nd chapter of Matthew, Jesus will say, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. In fact, the Apostle Paul will capture that in Romans 13 when he says, render to all what is due. To whom a tax is due, pay your taxes. So at the end of this story, Jesus says, give to those who are asking for it, for you and me. Pay the tax. Expects us to have some financial responsibility to governing agencies, but also, you know, in Jesus' teachings, he expects us to have responsibility, financial responsibility to God. In that verse in Matthew 22 where he says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, he says, render to God the things that are God. And then in a verse later, he says, You know, you tithe on everything, every little incidental thing. But you have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, like justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These are things you should have done without neglecting the other, without neglecting tithing. After the 8 o'clock hour, someone said to me, "You just kind of slipped that in subtly, didn't you, about tithing?" I said, "I didn't think it was supposed to be subtle. God expects us, He expects us to be good financial stewards." But there's a second thing that's kind of interesting to listen to the conversation. Jesus taught the principle of grace. How do you do that? He asked him a question. He says, "From whom do the kings of the earth collect tax? From their sons or from strangers?" The custom, of course, of the day was for kings to enlarge their kingdom by taking in new citizens, and they exacted a tax on them to maintain the kingdom. But the sons of the king didn't pay taxes. For you see, the money was for them. And so he says the sons are exempt. And I read that to mean this. Jesus is saying the temple for which this tax is being exacted, the temple is the house of God. And I am the Son of God. Therefore, I don't need to be paying a tax to maintain my Father's house. I think that's what Jesus was saying. But don't stop there. There's a but. But, he says, lest we give them an offense, we should pay the tax. He taught us to be careful about offending others. So, he says, go drop a hook in the water and first fish you catch, find a coin in its mouth, and pay the tax for both of us. So the question again is, did Peter actually find a coin in a fish's mouth? Well, look at the verse again, verse 27. Second half of that verse, take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for you and me. Is there another verse? Does it say Peter did it? No, it doesn't. Now, let's be fair. This is the same Peter that when Jesus said, cast your nets on the other side, he did and caught the fish. This is the same Peter when Jesus said, come walk on the water if you want to come to me. He did it. So one would assume that Peter did what Jesus told him to do. One would assume that. But I have some questions about that. Does God send miracles to enable us to do what we can do for ourselves? We sure would like for him to. House payments due. We sure would like to pray that God would just let money fall out of the sky. But does he? Or does he say, I expect you to do your part? When there's some issue of finances that you're dealing with, do you go buy a lottery ticket and then pray and ask God to let you win the lottery? How's that working for you? Does God send miracles to enable us to do what we can do for ourselves? Just a question. Another question. Would Jesus use his divine power for his own benefit? I mean, when you get right down to it, if Jesus is going to pay a tax, is he going to perform a miracle to have a coin in a fish's mouth to pay his tax? Use his own divine power? Would he do that? He didn't. When the devil said, turn these stones to bread after you haven't eaten for 40 days, he didn't. When the devil said, jump off the temple and people say, wow, he didn't use his divine powers then for his own benefit. Just a question. Is it possible that this story is a story of symbolism? It's important when you study Scripture to know the nature and the context of the times. And in the times of Jesus, there were what were called idioms. We have some of them today. I remember my father-in-law used to use a phrase when somebody would pass him on the highway, that person's going a mile a minute. Well, that sounded fast until I realized a mile a minute, 60 miles an hour, and that's not so fast. But we say to people, wait just a second. we don't mean 1001. We mean a short period of time. Is it possible that Jesus was saying this to Simon Peter? Simon, the only way you've ever made any money in your lifetime is fishing. Go catch some fish, sell the fish, and the money you make out of those fish, pay our tax. You say, I don't like that way to interpret it. I like a coin in the fish's mouth. That's just a matter of interpretation, I suppose. If I were to say to you that Mitch Connell makes his living out of automobiles, would you picture Mitch goes to the dealership and opens the hood of a car and takes some bucks out of the engine of the car? No. You understood what I meant. It's the process. You're saying, that is the weirdest interpretation of a scripture I've ever heard, preacher. Good. Good. I want you to think. I want you to imagine. Could Jesus have put a coin in a fish's mouth? Yes. Could he, with his spiritual insight, to know that out there in the middle of that huge body of water, there was a single fish with a single coin in his mouth that just happened to be the amount for the tax? Sure, it's possible. I kind of like the idea that he said, Peter, we have an obligation. And the best way to do it is with hard work. Let me ask you a question. Which is easier to obey Jesus? Go find a fish with a coin in its mouth, or love your neighbor? Share your faith. Pray without ceasing. Read my word. Just a thought. Sometimes fishy stories have a good meaning. Would you bow with me as we pray together? Father, I do thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for this moment in the life of Simon Peter where you simply ask him a question. And when we look back on that story, we wonder, but today, what difference does it make to us? So teach us. Teach us the lesson. The lesson of financial responsibility, the lesson of grace, the lesson of being kind to the needs of others, doing what is right. Teach us, and then help us to have the power to do it. For I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand, please. And as we sing this hymn of commitment, there's a public response. I'll meet you at the front.